When we were 9 years old, Billy Jones was one of us. He played football in the playground, he talked about everything and nothing, and he spent his fair share of time on the naughty chair. He was clever enough and daft enough, if you know what I mean. Billy was a normal kid. The story really starts one day in September. We were third year juniors. We were back in the classroom after lunch, everybody except Billy, but we all knew where Billy was. Billy was sitting under a tree beside the playing field. He'd been there all lunchtime. He didn't even want to play football. He said he was thinking. Mrs. Robinson was taking the register when Mr. Henry brought Billy back to the class. "Where have you been, Billy?" said Mrs. Robinson. "Sorry, miss. I was thinking." "What were you thinking about, Billy?" "Things, miss. Lots of things." Billy took a seat and started thinking again. You could tell by the look on his face. The next day, before school, Billy was under the tree again. He sat cross-legged, not really looking at anything. We could have asked him what was up. Billy was a mate, after all. But there was a football needed kicking, and we didn't have much time. We brought him in with us, though, when the bell rang. He said he'd been thinking again. I asked him what he was thinking about. "Life," he said, "and how the world works." He was under the tree again at break and at lunchtime, and he went back there after school until Mr. Henry told him to scram. For the first few days, we just left him to it. He wasn't doing any harm. And if he wanted to think, there's nothing wrong with that. We were 9 years old. When you're nine, there's a lot to think about. I wasn't the only one in our class who thought maybe he was onto something. Only most of us didn't have the patience to sit under a tree every day. Billy didn't say much in class anymore, but he paid attention. Sometimes he paid too much attention. One afternoon we were doing maths. Mrs. Robinson asked us what an isosceles triangle was. Everybody put up their hand, except Billy. "Billy," said Mrs. Robinson, because teachers do that. "What is an isosceles triangle?" "Sorry, miss," he said. "I was thinking about shapes. I was thinking that the whole world is made from different shapes, and I was thinking about how all of those shapes fitted together." "Well, we're just thinking about triangles today, Billy," said Mrs. Robinson. And then she asked me what an isosceles triangle was, only it turned out I didn't really know. Billy carried on thinking all through the autumn term. Every lunch and every playtime, he'd sit under the tree in the playground. There was one day we needed Billy's help. "Billy," we said, "can you cut and sit over here instead?" We were short of a goalpost. Billy came and sat where we'd normally put a coat or a jumper, and he stayed there for the rest of playtime. The ball hit him a couple of times, but he didn't seem to mind. "What were you thinking about, Billy?" I said, as we made our way back in afterwards. "Football," he said. This was good. It was getting harder and harder to talk to Billy these days, but I could talk about football all day long. "Do you see the match last night?" I said. City had beaten Newcastle 1-0. "Yeah," he said, "but it doesn't make any difference. They'll only play again anyway." This gave me something to think about. I mean, he was right. What does it matter who wins if all they're going to do is play again anyway? Normally, Billy didn't tell you what conclusions his thoughts had led him to. He might tell you he was thinking about clouds or space or God, but he wouldn't tell you what he was thinking about, clouds or space or God. It wasn't that he was trying to be evasive, it's just that there was a lot more to think about first. One day he said, "I think there may be four noble truths," but he didn't tell us what this meant. Eventually, he was sent to see an educational psychologist. His parents had been at the school and they were worried, so was Mrs. Robinson. That's when they decided they needed an expert opinion. When he came out of the meeting, he told the psychologist she'd given him a lot to think about, and he went under the tree to think about it. Billy carried on thinking all the way through juniors, and he was still thinking when he got to secondary school. They were ready for him. At the back of the science lab, there were these sort of greenhouses, and they gave Billy a chair where he could sit under a very tall yucca. He'd go there every break and every lunchtime to think his thoughts. Somebody likes it. Billy got on well with the science teachers, and he'd ask them questions. His favourite was Mr. Evans. Everybody liked Mr. Evans. He was one of those teachers. If you asked him a question, sometimes he'd say he didn't know. And sometimes he'd go away and find out. But usually he'd tell you to go away and find out, and then you had to share what you learned with the rest of the class. One day, we're in third year seniors, and Billy came into the yard at lunchtime. We were playing football as usual. "Can I play?" he said. Billy Jones had been thinking for 4.5 years, and now he wanted to play football. Not surprisingly, we wanted to know what he decided. I mean, 4.5 years, it's a long time to be thinking about anything. So whatever it was, it had to be good. It turned out he hadn't figured out anything at all. "I made a mistake," he said. We didn't know what he meant, he told us. He said it was a bit like doing a really long multiplication, like 4 times 9 times 6 times 7, only this one went on for pages and pages. "The thing is," said Billy, "that metaphorically, on the first page, there was a times zero, and I missed it." I knew what happened when you times anything by zero. You get zero. "So it was all a waste of time," I said. "Most of it. All that time sitting under a tree." "Yeah, pretty much." I thought that was the bravest thing I'd ever heard. I couldn't think of anybody who would spend half their life doing something and then admit it had all been a silly mistake. And then something crossed my mind. "Billy," I said, "what was your zero?" He laughed. He said, "I thought there must have been a point to life, a reason why we're all here, but there's not. It turns out it's an accident, a chance combination of chemicals, energy, and evolution." "So that's it," I said. "Life, it's a waste of time." "No," he said, "anything but. I figured we've got one life to live, and it seems daft to waste it sitting under a tree." Thank you.